Blog Talk Radio.
This is One-on-One with Jasper Cole, Hollywood's bad guy, and so much more. Actor, talent manager, producer, and more. Now he's sitting down with today's top newsmakers from entertainment, politics, pop culture, and beyond. This is One-on-One with Jasper Cole.
Howdy, 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 and welcome to another live edition of One-on-One with Jasper Cole. This is your host, Mr. Jasper Cole. We are coming to you live from Palm Springs, California in the pandemic 2020. This is, I think we're completing week 7 in here in Palm Springs, California. So I want to thank my amazing husband, Dennis Tarone, for putting up with all of me. The good, the bad, the ugly, and everything. But then again, after 23 years, does he really have a choice? Anyway, listen, guys, please follow us on social media. I'm at Jasper Cole Says, S-A-Y-S, on Twitter and on Instagram. We also have an Instagram, One-on-One J. Cole. Facebook, both Jasper Cole and One-on-One with Jasper Cole. And you can go to jaspercole.com and click on One-on-One with J. Cole. And all of our upcoming guests, our archived episodes, everything you need to know is right there. And, you know, last week you got to hear that my trusted co-host, who has been with me on again and off again for 10 years, you know, there were those unfortunate bus accidents along the way and contract negotiations that we just couldn't come to terms with. But, you know, that's all water under the bridge now. But as you know, my co-host, Mr. Ralph Cole Jr., is officially back on board. So please welcome Ralph Cole Jr.
Hello, Jasper. Hello, planet Eartha, and welcome to another star-dazzling episode.
Well, especially now that your voice is being heard, planet Eartha, well, right?
Absolutely. My voice will always be heard, Jasper, and I think that's why we have been together off and on for 10 years, because no matter how often you have tried to shut me out, or mute me, or put a mask over me.
Well, wait. Remember, it was never me. It was always the higher ups, and it was always
the producers,
the marketing. Well, you know, we did focus groups, Ralph. Remember, and the focus groups, they were. We, you know, unfortunately, if I made the decisions, of course, you would have been here the whole time. But it's kind of like a couple when they break up. We did have visitation along the way. Remember?
Oh, absolutely. Well, we've never had any ugliness between us, but that does remind me. Remember years ago, we were pitching our show somewhere, and they were like, okay, you need another co-host. And you were like, okay, either Ralph comes with me or you don't have a show. And that was
right.
So great back then because, you know, podcasts were less popular. I mean, the further you go back, of course, the less popular they were. But, you know, you could have easily thrown me under the bus then. But, you know, waited a few years.
I waited 3 or 4 years to do that, right? You know, I decided, come on now, you know, I got to just move on here. No. Truth is, I say to everyone, it took a pandemic to bring the Cole brothers back together because, you know why? People missed us and they missed you being on here. And we need your laughter. We need your energy and we need you and I to kiki it right here during this pandemic time.
Jasper, I totally agree. I just want to go off track for one quick second and just
really,
say,
really? Okay, go ahead.
Really? Your biceps are so spectacular.
My God. Wow.
And there, I had to say it because Planet Eartha, if you're on Facebook and you saw Jasper's promo for today's show, he is sitting in his office, allegedly not having gone to the gym for 8 weeks, which he hasn't, but he's been lifting up something, goddammit, because those biceps are fierce. So thank you for that.
I've been lifting those Corona masks and the gloves and those 45-pound boxes of stuff we have to buy when we make our one pilgrimage out during the week to find something.
Yeah,
so
honey.
I just want everyone to know that I started my morning off today by before I got my first cup of coffee, there was something I thought I was going to do on the patio. And so I decided to just walk onto the patio, not realizing that the screen door was closed. And not only did I go through the screen door, but I pulled the whole thing off the hinges, fell flat on my face first on the patio, and not a scratch. Okay. That's
wow.
That's where it be. I felt like I was back in my gymnast days, and I did like a triple mount and, you know, off the pommel horse.
Well, where was Dennis? Did he hear the noise?
No. And that kind of pissed me off too, because I'm one of those people, like, if I'm going to be somehow it was his fault, you know, for closing the door and not telling me, of course. I've somehow made it his fault. But
well,
anyway, the point is, you know, I'm here, I'm able to do the show, and I'm not going to, you know, milk it with the violin. But
well,
what I
mean,
through the fucking door.
Okay, well, I'm glad that you're not hurt, and clearly you didn't scratch your biceps, okay? But
this is why I like having Ralph around, because he boosts up my ego about stuff like that.
Well, the thing, I would be remiss in not creating a boomerang at the very start. As you recall, Jasper, I fell through Sal Lopez's screen door. And then when I met my Michael, he fell through the screen door. So
that's right.
Remember that? So that is what is so funny. And it came off the hinges and everything. And Sal was all like, oh, no, this happens all the time. Let me fix it. I was like, happens all the time. Bitch, put up some tape or like, you know.
Well,
make it
wait a minute.
Different.
Dennis reminded me, we have a piece of red tape on ours. Go ahead. Clearly, I didn't see that.
You were not paying any attention. No, but it's fine. It's good.
But you're right. That's where you met Michael. So see, well,
exactly.
Who am I gonna meet now? What are you saying?
No, you don't need to meet it. You have Dennis. It's all good. I was not. No, absolutely.
No, I know. I know.
I just had to bring it back to myself because Planet Earth expects at least one boomerang. So, you know, I had to start off the show with that. You know.
Well, the reason I actually was laughing is I thought it would be my luck, and I'm going to poo-poo this, but I thought I would, like, break my neck or crush my face, you know, survive Corona. No problem, and fall out the door onto the patio. And they're
exactly.
Like, so how did Jasper died of Corona? No, he fell through the patio door, and scene.
Oh,
so much for Hollywood's bad guy being a stuntman, right? That's But you know, Ralph. Again, congratulations on your full-time co-hosting gig.
Thank you.
Have you just been receiving job offers and accolades all around the world because of it?
Well, yes, I've gotten a lot of voiceover opportunities, and other podcasts have reached out to me and want me to be a guest on, you know, and I'll gladly be a guest on people's podcasts.
Well, you might want to read that fine print of your contract, because we do own you exclusively.
Oh, did you say own? Like in Harriet Tubman?
Like Rosa Parks on the bus? Yes, you're
Ooh,
now on the
giant.
Bus, and you've moved from the back of the bus. Oh, in fact, there's my other line reading. You hear that? It's probably some offer for you. It's probably for you. It's probably a job offer. Newman Thomas Management. Wouldn't that be hilarious if I answered and they're like, some casting director looking for you? Actually, he's right here.
Listen.
But Ralph, I want to tell everyone that, of course, we're so excited because our special guest tonight is Emmy-winning actress Tamara Braun from Days of Our Lives, from All My Children, and more recently from A Return Visit to General Hospital. And I was lucky enough to co-star – well, she actually is starring, so I'm definitely co-starring in a new film, Kombucha Cure, that we wrapped in January and February. We wrapped it in February, and I keep saying, sadly, I hope that's not going to be – the only job, you know, of the season. But I'm so excited to have her come on the show, because what a lot of people will know and they need to know is how fucking funny she is. And the movie's actually a comedy. So I'm so glad she's doing a comedy. Because like a lot of us, you know, we kind of get pigeonholed in our, in a good way in our career. And she's known for playing these really strong, tough, dramatic roles on the soaps. But I think people are going to love her in this movie. And I did clear it with Lance Paul, our producer, to make sure we could give a little tease by talking about the movie tonight. But I really want to hear all about her journey. And, you know, she's a veteran and she's been in the trenches and is still going strong. So I want to hear all about that. I can't wait for you guys to meet each other. She's friends with our dear friend, Alicia Minshew, Ralph. And,
oh, great.
Yeah. And you're going to see they have a very similar energy and a similar personality as well.
Oh God, I just got goose pimples. I haven't seen Alicia in a while, but remember we had that great lunch together.
Yes.
And oh, wow. That brings back really great memories. You know, to your point about you and Tamara, because you both are veterans and are both very well known for Tamara for her strong women roles, you for your bad guy roles, both of you took.
I thought you were going to say my bad guy women roles.
Oh, your bad guy. Yeah, you
those,
were fierce.
Well, those are yet to come. Maybe
you were fierce in Orange Is the New Black, but it's nice to see you to take a comic departure this time with Kombucha Cure, because one of the things that you said to me when you booked this movie was like, oh, great, I get to be funny and lighthearted again, you know,
right.
Because so much of your stuff is very dark and macabre, which is great, you know. But
and on that point, I want to shout out to Jason Bernard, who also is really instrumental on why he and Denise Boutte on why I even got the part of Theo in the movie. And I think Jason's going to be calling in to the show. And of course, you and Jason work together on Never and Again.
Absolutely. So, Jason was my producer. So
with his wonderful partner, Roberto.
Roberto. And, oh, God, I hope Jason does call in. Jason, God, talk about, you know, it all starts from the top down, right, Jasper? When I walked onto – the day I walked onto the set of Never End Again, Jason Bernard came right up to me, and we were like instant friends. It was just the best. And, you know, from that point on, we're very friendly with each other. It was a wonderful experience. Got to work opposite Denise Boutte. So how great is that? You know, and speaking of Denise Boutte, oh, my God. Did you see Jordan's last video, her cooking video?
You mean our newest star client, Jordan Boutte? Yes.
Yes. Jordan Boutte is packed with personality.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she is beautiful, gorgeous, articulate, and just like, wow, put a little baking soda in to tenderize your meat. I was like, work it out, Jordan. Work it out, Denise.
She is the Louisiana girl. She's the Louisiana girl, the face of Louisiana girl, Denise's, you know, product line now. So it couldn't work out better. As I said to Denise, you know, she put her to work. She's in that house. Earn some money.
Denise and Kevin, they scored big with this product. And I'm not talking about Louisiana. Well, you know, actually Jordan is Louisiana girl. So yeah,
that's right. It all ties in. And
it all,
and
ties
in fact,
in.
I mean, truth be told, Denise, you know, wanted to, she knows that I'm not a big, you know, advocate for children acting in the business. And I've never really ripped kids. And she brought this up to me, you know, months and months ago. And I was like, you know, I don't really think it's for me, but, you know, I know she's going to have no problems finding a rep or whatever. And then, but look at me. Then I saw the first Louisiana Girl video and I was like, wow, okay, I see what Denise is talking about. So then I just kind of kept watching the videos and finally I called Denise and I was like, well, if it's not too late, could I pitch myself to manage Jordan Boutte? And Denise said, I knew you'd be coming back. We were just waiting. So
I love
we
that.
Are very
Work it
excited.
Out, Denise. She's my gumbo girl. So yes. Excellent.
So Ralph, tell me what has this week been on in the Corona world for you? Have you been to Costco? Have you been out shopping? What's the latest?
You know what? Since our last show, I've been out once, and that was to Ralph's Supermarket, and I got right in. There was no waiting, and I did my thing. I have been here with Rose, but I am happy to say that I have been teaching myself iMovie, so now I can edit my own self-tapes, and, you know, I can almost do it completely by myself. But as I said to you, I like having that live reader, even though it's via telephone, so I can act in between the lines. And when I do the lines myself, I feel like I'm under a timeline, like get that line in, you know, because
right.
You know, my voice is about to come in. So other than that, but, you know, I have plenty of friends that were able, willing and able to do it. And because I'm not from the Mac world, and my good friend and business partner, Ronnie Butler and Carlise Burke and Claude Knowlton, three noted actors, all use iMovie to edit. I'm like, I have been putting hurdles up all the time because it's like Ronnie was always there for me. And
right.
He was always able to do it. But now that we're having to social distance as well, it's great when you have to make it work and keep going. So for me, that has been a good accomplishment for me, getting my setup and learning how to produce a product that can be in the running with everybody else's self tapes. Now that the world is casting is inundated with tapes.
Oh, right. Everybody's been, I mean, it's amazing. I heard that the Leah Daniels Butler, you know, she put out that self tape that she, I think she got over like 250,000. She actually got 250,000 and crashed the site on Breakdown.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is so amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a whole new world now. You know, it's like, wow, how do you stand out from your self-tapes now? Remember, it's always been your headshot. It has to pop, and the background
right.
has to pop, you know, and you got to just look different. Now, everything is electronic, and the only way they first access you now is like through a little thumbnail, you know.
Right, exactly.
And then they click on it, and, you know, do you captivate them? As we've read in Deadline articles, various directors, as soon as you come on tape, they know right then whether you're right for their vision. You know, so it is just going to be a whole new.
Well, you know, that's one of the beauties of getting to also manage is, you know, I get to sometimes be privy to casting director feedbacks. And as we say all the time, you know, every casting office is different. Every casting office has their own way of doing things. But in general, there is this kind of, I keep hearing over and over again, like within the first few seconds into an audition, people know or they don't know. They think right away he or she's right for it, and they continue watching or not. Jade Harlow was telling us that last week, remember?
Right.
About her fiance. So, well, listen, I can't believe our opening has happened, and I think we're going to be so lucky because our very special guest, Tamara Braun, is joining us right now. So please, everyone, please welcome the amazing Tamara Braun. All right.
Hello.
Hi there, my dear. How are you?
I'm great. I want that that applause track to follow me everywhere I go.
I'm going to email it to you later, and you can just do like I wake up to it and I turn it on and then, you know, listen to it and then walk through the screen door. But
well, it's your alarm clock sound.
That is.
Yes.
Yeah.
That would be a great way to wake up in the morning.
Well, Tamara, say hi to my co-host, Ralph Cole Jr.
How you doing, Ralph?
Tamara, I am well. Thank you. It is such an honor to have you on our show. And I welcome you with open arms and enthusiasm.
Thank you. Which, I'm so happy to be doing it.
Well, and truth be told, Tamara and I, we used to be neighbors and didn't realize it, but we found out we lived in a similar part of LA at one time. Isn't that funny how you can, it's amazing how you can live like in LA and not see people, you know what I mean? Or
mm-hmm.
You meet them later and you find out you were down the street. It's kind
yeah.
of bizarre.
Well, I think we probably ran into each other at Trader Joe's or,
right.
you know,
Gelson's
Reservoir
somewhere.
Yes.
Right. Exactly.
Well, that
we
happened.
We didn't know each other then.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, and Jasper's very standoffish in public and stores and everything. So he probably
yes.
walked right past G Tamara and was just
oh,
like,
yeah.
you know.
He probably saw me and was like, oh, that bitch, moving on.
Oh, no. The truth is, she probably saw me and thought, let me get the fuck away from that scary
away from here
thing.
Because, shit, they say he plays
hide your purse.
Yes, because he looks scary in person too, goddammit. But, you know, to your point, Jasper, even in Palm Springs, you have been running into friends, and Palm Springs is much smaller, obviously, than Los Angeles, and you guys are all living right around each other and haven't run into each other sometimes.
I know. It's just weird how so many people from L.A. have migrated. I sound like the birds have flown out to Palm Springs. But anyway, guys, before I forget, everyone, please, they can follow Tamara at pretty much everything is at Tamara Braun, TamaraBraun. And it's Tamara, not Tamara. Because
yes,
I'm sure
right.
Everybody, well, even on Kombucha Cure, when we were all meeting each other, you know, we were like, okay, is it Tamara or Tamara? And
people said Tamara, so yeah, it's Tamara. Rhymes with Tamara.
Okay.
Right. Exactly. So how are you doing during this this quarantine pandemic that we're all dealing with?
Well, thank goodness I'm fine. I'm healthy. You know, that's really what we all, you know, want is to stay healthy and keep others healthy. I mean, hanging in there. I actually did just come back from Trader Joe's. It was my first time there since the quarantine. And
the
whole social distance. Yeah, I mean, the lines were around the block. So I had to, you know, go elsewhere to shop. But they've slowed down a bit, which is nice. And they've got the whole social distancing down and they're sanitizing carts. And honestly, I used to say when I first moved to L.A., oh, my God, if you're having a bad day, just go to Trader Joe's. Everyone is so nice.
So happy.
It's like the happiest place on earth. I mean, forget Disneyland and World.
Right.
That's not the happiest place on earth.
It's true.
Trader Joe's.
You're right.
No, Trader Joe's.
And
I'm sorry, go on.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, in Tamara, when they used to offer samples in Trader Joe's, it was truly a delight as well.
Oh, well, I mean, I guess now they don't because of quarantine, but I think
exactly.
They did just before, right?
They did just before, and so did Costco just before, yes.
I wonder if that's going to be a thing of the past, samples. Oh.
I think it's, my God.
Tamara,
I think it's going to be, I think it'll be a thing of the past. Just like on the movie
You're
set,
right.
There's no more gathering around the craft service table, and I love that.
Yeah.
That and
okay. Tamara, here's the truth. Let's just keep it real. This is what Ralph does. Ralph is known for his Tupperware bowls. So Ralph will take Tupperware to the set and, you know, when it's time for lunch or dinner, he will make sure he gets his Tupperware.
No.
And the funny thing is, Rosie Perez, the actress, I heard her recently telling the exact same story, but she took it one step further. Not only does she take the food from lunch and dinner, she takes a big, like, bag, and then she takes all the leftover craft service and just rakes it off into her bag and takes it.
That's awesome.
That is
oh, my God.
And you're talking pre-corona because you can imagine.
What's that?
Yeah. I was saying that this was pre-corona when, you know, everyone's had their hands in the peanut bowl and the chips and everything.
Tamara,
listen.
So nasty. Tamara, listen. Now, listen to me, honey.
Yeah.
You and I have been wrapped.
Listening.
Okay. You and I have been wrapped for the
listening.
Day. And now we're on our way to our cars. You've just come out of your trailer. I've just come out of mine. At lunch, we saw that big-ass tray of chocolate chip cookies, just fresh and beautiful. And right as we walk past, we see the catering man hurling them into the trash. And now they're at the very top. Yes, hurling them into the trash, Emma. And then, so the cookies are. They were right on top, girl. They were right on top. But I withheld myself because I was going to reach in and get some for my Tupperware, girl, because the cookies were still good and they can't.
Wow, Ralph.
I know. Yeah.
Wait. I know you can't see me, but I'm raising my hand. I have a question.
Yes.
Okay. So why in the world would anyone throw away cookies?
They can't keep them. It's a health law.
Why?
And the And they can't take that.
Stay, put them in Tupperware and put them back out, no?
I know. No, they don't do that. And they can't keep all that left. Like, you know, when you've gotten the chicken cutlet and the veal parmesan going down the line, they can't take that just right
to
a home.
Yeah, I'm not interested in any of that. Okay. Not
no,
interested, but go on.
Tamara's vegan.
Oh, okay. Well, when you get your lettuce and your grains and a nut butter, and you know, they can't take that to a homeless shelter afterward. They have to discard it if it's been opened. Yeah.
That I do know because I used to work at a lot of different restaurants, hotels, and last place I worked was the Four Seasons Hotel, and they used to we had so much bread, we had so much food. A lot of times. We were lucky, they'd bring food down into the employee cafeteria. So, you know, that was a good way to not waste it. But, I mean, at the end of night, sometimes they would be just tossing very expensive food in the trash. And I used to ask the same thing, can't I take this to a homeless shelter? But no, because of the liabilities. And it's just, I think
it's terrible.
I think it's practically criminal. It's horrible.
Yeah, it really is.
But,
it really is.
I understand cooked food, but you would think that they would say, you know, more often, oh, let me wrap this up and put it in some to-go baggies or some tinfoil or, hey, you know, you're bringing your Tupperware for a reason.
Exactly. Thank you,
you
Tamara.
Would think so.
I was moving it forward, Tamara. You know, I'm a trendsetter, girl. I'm a trendsetter.
You are.
Okay. I love it, Tamara. You are. Listen, you know, it is so much fun getting to play with you because I'm hoping that when Kombucha Cure has their premiere, we'll be at a point where we could all safely go and
congregate.
See
it, not stream it.
Yeah, not stream it.
A virtual premiere.
Fucking opening where we're looking like Hollywood Squares, girl. Okay? And it's you, Lance, and Denise and the top three squares, and then Jasper and whomever else, and Jason and Daryl Larson and everybody, and we're all sitting up there, you know. Hopefully, one of these days, it'll get to go back to...
Yeah.
So
hopefully.
My normal. Yeah. Yes. I have faith that it will. It will. It's
I think so eventually. Tamara, we touched on Kombucha Cure briefly in the opening. I was saying how, for me, I was so happy to get to be in a comedy, be it a dark comedy, and I was telling all the listeners that I know how funny you are because I got to be with you and work with you, but I want your fans to see how funny, and they probably already know you're funny in real life, but you know, we all
I don't know.
You know, but you're
maybe.
so much fun, and Ralph and I both referenced Alicia Minshew because Ralph knows her as well, and we were saying how the two of you have such similar energies and so much fun.
Yeah, I think that's probably why we're such close friends. Yeah, she is so funny. It's she's insane funny.
Oh, she and raunchy and bawdy. You know.
Yes.
Oh my God. Potty mouth like a sailor. It's been
oh my God, exactly. No. And I haven't seen Alicia in years, but she was always so lovely to me. We would laugh our fool heads off together. So, you know, and along with Jennifer Bassey, you know, so
of course.
God.
Yes, another Hello. Kombucha Cure. Well, speaking of, okay, because I want to get all into, we're going to talk to Tamara about her soap career and her beginning years, but I know we have a caller on the line. I want to get to, for everyone that's calling, please bear with me because we don't have our producer today. So Jasper Cole, who can barely run an iPhone, is actually running the board. So good luck to everyone. But I think that this might be, I believe we might have Jason Bernard on the line. Is that right? Is this Jason? Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hi, you're on the air. Do you have a question? Oh, okay.
Okay, you know, this isn't really working out that well, Jasper. Okay, so moving on.
Wait, hold on. Hi, welcome. You're on the air. Who is this? Hello? Hi.
Oh.
You're on the air. Do you have a question?
Hello.
Hello, or a Venmo account?
Okay, we're going to try one more.
Oh, okay.
Hold
okay,
on.
Hey. No.
Hi. Okay. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
This is
is Marcia. She's going swimmingly. Is that a cat dying in the back? What's happening?
Yeah, we're going to have to really hone that down.
Oh, wow. Well, just know that there are callers calling in.
Calling with questions that they cannot ask.
Ask, okay. Right. Listen, Tamara, don't even look at your phone right now, Tamara, because you know your friends are like, what the F? I have been on hold.
Here we go. Hi, you're live on the air. Who is this? Oh, okay. Well, thank you for...
You know, Jasper, oh, honey, you are so...
Okay, you know what?
Jasper.
We are taking too much time right here from this, so let's get back to what's really important.
Hi, you're not live on the air. Do you have a question?
Well, listen, here's what... I wanted to talk about your journey, of course, as an actress, because... This is the one business, as we know, that it's, you know, it's never the same, and everybody has a path, and it's usually we all have some bizarre way that we got to this business. You know, I always say it's the one thing where you can't, like, you go to college, you get your degree, you're going to go be a lawyer, you're going to be in med school, but, you know, acting, everyone has to kind of find it on their own. So growing up in Evanston, Illinois, obviously close to Chicago, did you get the acting bug when you were a young kid, or did it happen later?
Well, I did get the acting bug when I was a kid. I really wanted to do it, but I didn't think that my parents would be okay with it. I knew my mom and wasn't going to have any time to take me anywhere to do anything, go on auditions. So that wasn't something that I really felt like I could push. So I was like, oh, what is that another cat? What's happening?
I don't know who has the. I hear a cat. Who is that?
I don't have a cat.
I don't have a cat. Ralph, is that your pussy?
No, it is not.
or is it your cat? I'm sorry.
No, it is not. Maybe
someone's on the line.
That's what I think, Tamara. They're probably saying hello. Hello, I'm here.
Here's what I think is happening. People are too shy. They're calling it. They're on hold, and then they're shy. You can listen to the show while you're on hold, and so I think they're mesmerized by the conversation.
They must be. Yep. So there's no gentleman on with the pussy.
Yeah, because
I just muted.
No, Tamara, you're the only one with a biological one.
I muted the phantom pussy. I'm not sure who that was.
Oh,
so.
My goodness.
Hashtag phantom pussy. Okay. So anyway, back to, obviously, yeah, your mom, you felt you were not going to have the stage mom and be able to go on the auditions as a kid.
Yeah. So she, you know, and she basically... You know, said that. So, you know, I did gymnastics. But
right.
when I went to when
I love
to
it, Tamara,
school,
you were like, I had a feeling that she wouldn't do it. Was that feeling because she actually said, I'm not going to do it, Tamara?
I'm not doing it. Get your ass doing flip-flops.
Okay.
Right. Thank you. Tumble, girl, tumble.
Yeah. She actually worked for a photographer at one point, and she was just like, no way. The amount of clothes, the amount of, you know, schlepping stuff and take, you know, driving here and there. She's like, it's an expense. It's ridiculous. She's like, no. And then she said, I just wanted you to have a you know, kind of a normal life. And that's just not I don't think it's a great life for kids. But I wouldn't say that my childhood was so normal. But no, I mean, you know, I just knew it wasn't something she was willing to do. But but when I went to school, when I went to college, I was studying psychology and I was doing fine, but I was really kind of miserable because it wasn't what I wanted to do. I was taking as many courses in theater and drama as I could, and any production I went to, my heart just ached because I wanted to be doing that. And so as much as mom didn't want to, you know, put me in that world when I was a young kid, she was very supportive when I told her I was pretty miserable and what I wanted to do. So I ended up leaving school in my second year, and I went and studied in Chicago. with a man named Ted List, and I went and I moved back home, and she's like, you can move back home, you can, I want you to follow your dreams, because she was a dancer. She had one regret in her, life is that she stopped dancing. She said her passion, it was everything, and that was her biggest regret, and she didn't want me to have that. So she said, you can move back. She goes, you can get a job, and you study, you find classes, and you do everything that you can do to try and make it in this business. She said, but you can't fuck around. I'm like, I'm not the fuck around kid. I'm the responsible one. So she said, but you do it so that you do everything you can towards that. So if you don't make it to whatever that means for you, she said, mm-hmm. you'll know that you didn't leave any stone unturned.
Good.
She said,
oh, that's good.
Yeah. But if you do, if you screw around, then you'll always be going, damn it, I should have. What if? So it was great. I mean, I went home and I just studied my butt off, and I was happier than I had ever been. And then I went to London and studied for a summer at the Royal Academy of Dramatic Art. And
wow.
Thinking about it now, it was just some of the most exciting, wonderful, passionate, and inspiring, and active times in my life.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Wonderful, yeah.
Well, so, I love the fact. I love
I
that you. I love that you also have the theater background, like Ralph and I. You know, it's amazing because I do meet mostly younger actors today, and it's fine. I don't have a judgment against it, but I just always assume that everyone kind of comes from theater or has a theater's mm-hmm. background, and you meet mm-hmm. some wonderful actors today, and they really have never done theater or they don't have that that background. And so part of me is kind of fascinated by it, because it's like, wow. But then I don't know for you, but like me, once I started doing TV and film, I did start going, oh, wow. I mean, there is a real craft to this, and I have an appreciation for that too. But just hearing that you
it's
were at RADA
different.
Must have been amazing.
It was phenomenal. I wanted to do their 3-year program, but my director there actually said, don't. He said, go out, work. He said, you will learn
right,
by working.
Right.
Then you will
yeah.
hear. Yeah, I mean, there's a big difference, though, with theater performers than there is with TV and film. I mean, obviously, really good people can traverse both or all
right.
of the different, genres.
Right.
But I think that a lot of times people who go to conservatory or do most or all of their work in theater and then get opportunity in film and TV sometimes have to learn new things. Because
yes.
it's so much smaller, right? As we know,
right.
the camera captures what you're thinking. So,
mm-hmm. not what you're doing, exactly.
Yeah.
For me, it's always like I'm amazed that because on stage we get to sort of sustain a performance. I mean, there's a beginning, middle, and end, and once you go out there, you're at. But with TV and film, it's so out of our control, and it's. We're, you're shooting, but although except in daytime, at least in daytime, you're shooting sort of fast and it's kind of more of telling the same story like a play would as opposed to a film.
I've always felt that daytime soap work is the closest thing to theater.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's no rehearsal theater now.
Right. It's funny because everyone like you and Jennifer Bassey, all of my friends who work in soaps, they used to always say like, because I've only been on really small parts on there, but they were like, if you want another take, either fall down or run into the camera, and even then, we can't guarantee you're going to get another take. So
that's right.
So
Martinez was the first. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, no. Tell us about A. Martinez.
Oh, no. He was the first person I worked with. He and Maurice Bernard were the first people I worked with on my first day ever on General Hospital.
Oh, wow.
And A. Martinez, he'd do a take. And this is when we would have, two takes, maybe three if you were lucky and they had time. If he wasn't happy, he'd be in the middle of a scene. He'd go, bullshit, 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 bullshit.
I love it.
And he's so, like, they can't keep it. They can't keep it if you say bullshit.
So he learned. He knew how to make sure they had to start over.
That reminds me,
without hurting himself and falling down.
Well, exactly. Or, you know, or like try causing them to start bleeding or something. It's that story, Tamara, reminds me back in the day, like a One Life to Live, when I was in Guiding Light, when I was growing up in New York, and you'd be an extra, a background person.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, okay, now in this scene, Tamara Braun is going to be walking by you. So then you would try to bump into Tamara. So you would say, excuse me, and then get up to under five and scene. Okay.
But I know, and then Ralph, you probably told everyone else how to do that, right? Or did you keep it to yourself?
I kept it to myself, and back then I kept that Tupperware to myself as well, too. No, I'm joking. Back then I didn't know to bring Tupperware. But, you know, Tamara, I wanted to ask you, in soap operas, do they, since you said it's more like a play, it's the closest thing to a play, do they tend to shoot sequentially in a soap opera?
Well, not anymore. I mean, they're doing so many shows in a day. I mean, hopefully you at least have one of your, you know, you'll do like one of your shows in a day, right? But sometimes you just based on where the sets are, because they shoot according to set.
Mm-hmm.
If a certain set's not set up, you might shoot, you know, half of one. You might shoot like one show and a half of another show, and it's the end of the second show that you're doing, but not the beginning part, you know?
Gotcha.
And you may have to do that the following week.
Gotcha.
So, yeah. But I mean,
okay.
it's more sequential, I would, you know, than shooting a prime time or a film.
Copy,
you know,
that.
Just
mm-hmm.
because, but you're doing so much.
Mm-hmm. And so, Tamara, did you come straight to LA after RADA? Did you go to New York at all, or you moved to LA?
I did not go to New York. I was too chicken shit to go to New York. I came from Chicago, and I'm already used to the cold, and or not used to it. I'm over the cold.
Over it, right.
I'd like to go have some nice sunshine. So
that's what I thought too. Me too.
Yeah, you do. You too. Yeah, but I did live in New York for a bit, and I love New York. I love Manhattan. I love Brooklyn. There's an energy, which I know is so different right now. I can't even imagine what it's like there right now.
Oh, right, exactly.
Ralph is actually from L.A., but he moved and he left and was there for 20 years and then came back. So he loved it also.
See, you wanted that change of season.
Yeah, I'm an only child. I grown up in Los Angeles. So to your point, the time that I got to live there from 1979 till 1999, that was such a great heyday time for me in Manhattan.
Mm.
You know, the excitement, the energy that you speak of in Manhattan and Brooklyn, I can relate to that because I fortunately got to live there during that time, and I lived in Brooklyn as well. So but then after I came home to take care of my father, but at the time it was nice to leave to go see different seasons. In fact, the first time I saw it snow, I was across the street from John Lennon's building, and when the snowdrop started falling down, it was like, oh wow, this is what it's really like, because I had only seen it on TV and movies. And the closest
wild
I had ever,
to me.
Yeah, because I grew up in LA, so the closest I had had ever been, excuse me, to snow was when my parents would take me to Santa's Village, which is someplace like,
different,
you know, like a Lake Arrowhead place, or a place where they bus in the snow to, you know, to make a callback. But, you know, so being in New York, it was so nice to actually like, oh, this is what snow is like. Of course, after 2 days of that, when it's all muddy and nasty and you're slipping in it, it was like, okay, I get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
like, too
okay,
much.
Now it's enough.
Yeah, okay. It's one thing if you're inside, like in Vermont, with a country breakfast, looking out onto the window, and everything is white and snow-laden, like in that movie White Christmas Carol. Then, yes.
Yes, you have a little hot toddy, and life is good.
Ooh, honey, and you're sitting by the fire, girl, and just you're in your sweaters, and, you know, one person is over in the chair reading a book, somebody's crocheting, the kids are, you know, on the floor playing little games and what have you, you know.
Nicely,
okay,
quietly,
Ralph,
let's
get back to Tamara.
Well, Tamara and I were taking that journey together, Jessica.
I know, but we're going to get back to her acting journey, because we're off in you're in fucking Vermont with a hot toddy or something. We're trying to talk about you're over
Thank
in
you,
white
Tamara.
White Christmas, and we're in a pandemic in Palm Springs, bitch. So calm down. Okay. Anyway, so when you first got to LA, did you do theater as well when you first got out here?
Oh, when I first got out here, I did How Do I Get a Job to Pay the Bills?
Right, well, of course.
Right. I did a little bit of theater, not much, because, you know, you learn pretty quickly that people don't go to the theater much here.
Right,
So, and it's always, it's very different. Like here, it's you know, you do theater, unless it's at, like, the Geffen or, you know, one of the big theaters.
Exactly.
You know, it's always with the It's always with the caveat. Everyone's like, oh, if I book a commercial or a film or a TV show, I'm leaving.
I'm out of here. Right.
Right. And so there's a different level of commitment to theater. So I didn't do a lot. I did, you know, back in the day, they did a lot of showcases. So I would do that, those kinds of things. And I took classes because I always, you know, I always love keeping the instrument fresh, and you know, class sometimes is the closest thing to theater, you know, that you're going to do. So, you know, it's kind of a hard thing, I think, in LA. I mean, there are some incredible theaters here and some wonderful small theater works going on, but I had to pay the bills, you know? Restaurants and hotels, and it's a hard thing to do.
Well, to that point, you know, I was going to bring up, there's an actress, Kate Linder, who's been on Young and the Restless forever, and Marla Gibbs. Yeah, Kate is wonderful. And Marla Gibbs back on the Jeffersons, you know, both of them were flight attendants when they got their jobs. And Kate still, to this day, people are amazed. She kept her flying benefits. And I believe she still has to fly maybe once a month or something. But I think there's a story where you were waitressing. What is the story, if you want to tell us, about when you, I think, booked maybe Days of Our Lives or one of your soaps? Were you actually a waitress at the time and you kept doing it, or you were a hostess? Am I getting this story right?
It's when I was, when I booked General Hospital.
General Hospital.
I'd been working at the Four Seasons, Los Angeles, and I booked it, and it was my first contract role, and everyone's like, oh, my gosh, you have a job for 4 years. And I was like, actually, the contract states I have a job for 13 weeks.
Right.
And if they like me, I get another 13 weeks, and so on and so on.
Right.
But I'm the girl who's, like I said, I'm the responsible one, and I didn't know if this was going to last, if it wasn't going to last. I was extremely grateful for the 4 year contract with the 13 week, you know,
right.
But I was like, okay, no, I have a job for 13 weeks. So I asked my, my employers at Four Seasons if they would put me, you know, I was on call to begin with, but if they would just, you know, put me on the side and not, you know, call me in for a bit. And, you know, I'd let them know, and they were great to do that. So the first 13 weeks came and went, and then the second 13 weeks came, and I got a call from them because they were really, really busy. And they're like, hey, you know, we are so slammed. Can you come in and work? And, I mean, I was already being recognized. It was, you know, a whole change, you know, for me.
Right.
But I was like, absolutely, I will come in, you know, because they had the ballrooms, they had everything going on. And so I worked for them, you know, they had been so good to me for 5 years.
Wow.
And I was so fortunate to have that as a fallback in case, you know, in case I needed it. So,
oh, God, Tamara, that's the best story. And you
isn't
know
that
what?
Great, Ralph? Yeah.
That helped their business, girl, because it's like, oh, look who's serving us. Oh, my God, we've got to get into her station. We've got to.
No, but it's a nice thought.
You know, but you know, Tamara, what I was laughing at?
What's that?
This is only a joke. Because your employers at Four Seasons were so wonderful to you. But they're no different than those theater jobs you were talking about. Because they're like, huh, as soon as she gets something big, she is out of here. She is out of here. And sure enough, you came in one day. Hey, everybody, I love you all, but I am going to General Hospital. Bye-bye. Okay.
Bye-bye. You know, the crazy you know, the funny thing is, my dogs are whining. What's the matter?
Oh, hi there.
What's the matter? It's Lily and Pearl. They say hello.
Hey, Lily and Pearl.
Oh, do you
adorable.
Hear her?
Little, yes.
Little, are you being spoiled? Yeah.
She wants to be on the radio.
Yeah, well, say hi to Jasper and Ralph. Actually, I have no idea what I was about to say. Okay, jump down. Go away.
No, but basically, we were saying how fortunate you were to have the ability to know you would go back. And see, this is what happens. Ralph and I talk about this, too. You know, there's so many actors who they get that first job and they're like, they suddenly lease a Range Rover and they lease a house.
Oh my gosh.
You know what I mean? I'm like,
oh, my gosh.
We both have been around long enough to see this happen. And, you know, it's like, everyone needs to pump the brakes a little bit and calm down, because it's like,
yes,
we've seen this where people get way in over their heads. And I mean, you've been so blessed because of your talent to work on three different soaps. And here's what I also find fascinating is you were able to go to Days of Our Lives. You played what, two characters on Days and two characters on GH, two different
mm-hmm.
characters. Now, mm-hmm. how does that, I mean, because see, that's what I love about daytime. In the nighttime world, as we know, if you do three lines on like a nighttime show, that's it. You can never come back again, right? But you know,
right.
but in daytime, they can just create a whole new character, which I love.
That's the craziness of. I mean, right? Didn't Joan Crawford play her daughter's character when she got
right? Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
that's the least of Joan Crawford's problems, but yeah,
allegedly. Right, or her daughter's.
I love that you brought up that reference, Tamara. That's hilarious.
I mean,
yeah.
Come on, it is the only medium where it's like, okay, we'll just go with it, and God bless them for it, you know? And God
no,
bless
it's
the
perfect.
Fans who are so amazing, who are like, we want to see you regardless. Come back, you know.
They go. They go
really
with
nice
it.
Thing.
Yes, they go with it.
They do.
So,
they do. I mean,
so you had
happier, you know, or less happy, but you know, but they're always excited if they love you. They are excited to see you back.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. You had a great first run on General Hospital, and then you. That's when you and help me with it. Is that when you then went to Days of Our Lives?
I left General Hospital after my first contract was up, and then I didn't go straight to any other soap because I didn't leave to go to another soap. I just left because
right.
I had done, you know, and I was doing other things, and I did some film, and I did, you know, primetime stuff, and but then in 2000, I believe it was 7, 8, I got a call from Days of Our Lives, and it was for a short-term role, which I was excited about. I wasn't really ready to go back long-term
mm-hmm.
then. And
right.
It was for the character of Ava Vitale, which they describe as a cross between Glenn Close and Fatal Attraction and Girl Interrupted, Angelina Jolie's character. In
oh,
that.
So
and
it's,
I was
it's,
like,
a it's a comedy, right?
The comedy, really light.
It's a sitcom.
And goofy.
Right,
super
right.
goofy.
Well, wacky and zany.
Yeah,
there's camera.
Yeah. So I was like, ooh, that's interesting.
Ooh,
I can stick my teeth
what
into
a great
that.
Character.
Honestly, I don't know if I would. Yeah, and I don't know if I would want to do more than 6 months of this because, you know, it could
right.
make a person actually go insane. But, you know, to sink your teeth into it, you know, I was
yeah.
excited for it. And it was well written and it was, you know, it was before things got a little crazy in soap opera world, you
know, with
things moving as quickly as they are now. And I just loved it, you know, and that's actually what I won my Emmy for, the 6 months I did on there.
Well,
I was going to say
congratulations
on your that is super
Emmy win.
How was that experience?
How was that whole experience of being nominated and then actually winning? Because they always say it's just great to be nominated, which it is, but winning is better.
I wish I was prepared. I really didn't think I was going to win. I thought Brie was going to win. Everyone was talking about her work, and she's so lovely. But it was funny because I got there, and I was like, oh, I'm not winning. And I'd seen my, you know, tickets, and I looked where they were, and I was like, oh, I'm really far back. And then when I got, we were walking, I was with my mom. I was like, oh. I said, oh, they've got me up in the front.
Oh.
I was like, oh, maybe I do have a chance at this thing. I don't know. But I really didn't. Everyone said it was Bree's year. So I was, and I didn't plan anything. I didn't plan to say anything. And then I watched it afterwards when it happened. And I just looked like a deer caught in the headlights, like a total idiot. It looked like I was about to throw up. So I just didn't expect it, but it was great. And it was great to have my mom there. And what was really great for me is I was proud of my work, really proud of what I had done that year. So it felt really nice.
Yeah.
Tamara, I wanted to say, Tamara, that it's a very great testament to your mom and the ethic that she put into you at a young age about, at first not supporting, she wanted you to get a good base. And then when you returned from college and she saw how happy you were and that you were the responsible child and were going to make, if you're going to make it, you're going to leave no stone unturned to making it in General Hospital. And then going back to work at the restaurant. I just love that because so many other people could have just been like, honey, do you know who I am, girl? Those were my days. I'm not returning. And you didn't do that. You maintain loyalty, and it's a great testament to your upbringing. And I love that story.
Aww. Yeah. And it's a rarity in this business also.
Yeah, you know, I think that whole thing, do you know who I am, what you put at the end of that is obviously if you're going to say something like it, is an asshole. If you're going to we are all, so much of this, I mean, it is hard work. It is, you know, putting the time in. It is talent, but it's also a lot of luck, you know, a lot of luck, a lot of things we don't have control over.
Right.
And I just really think it's important to remember, just to remember how lucky we are when we get to work, and to be grateful for it, and to never act above anything or anyone else. I mean, an honest day of work is an honest day of work in whatever you do. And
that's right.
You know, sometimes we work a lot harder and get paid a lot less than what we should in whatever jobs we have. And sometimes we don't work so hard and we get paid more. And, you know, it's just,
right.
Work is work. And I don't think that anyone should ever be ashamed of an honest day of work. And they need to remember where they came from.
Yes,
if you're just joining us, we're talking to the amazing Tamara Braun. And I have to apologize to everyone. The board is not allowing me to take calls. So I know a lot of fans and friends are on hold, and I'm so sorry. I want to give a shout-out to all of the people that are trying to call in. And actually, it's not my fault. Believe it or not, there's a message from the Blog Talk that the boards are down. So there's a computer failure. But that's okay. That just gives us more time to chat with you. But everyone, remember, the whole interview will post on iTunes and all the places after this. So everyone can tune in and listen to it then. But I wanted to get over
wonderful.
To you.
And thank you for everyone trying to
yeah, thank you, guys.
Nice.
I know some of our Kombucha Cure family was trying to call in. Jason Bernard and Lance Paul, and I think Denise Boutte was calling. So,
Denise.
Yeah, so I think they're all checking in with us. But that was such a great experience, and I keep saying I hope that's not going to be our one job of this year. But if it is, I'm glad we snuck it in right before the pandemic hit.
Oh, me too. What fun, huh? What a good group of people.
Really great group of people. Yeah, and you know, it's funny because Ralph and I were talking about how just the older we get in the business, the longer we're in the business, you just want to work with good people, right? You just want to work with fun people. And it's so rare. And especially if you're doing like indie projects or if the money's not huge. I mean, listen, you know, well, I always say, if you pay me enough, I'll put up with whatever, I guess, you know, whoever it is. But on these great kind of fun passion projects we get, it's certainly, you want it to be a fun group of people. So I just feel blessed too, that I keep meeting these wonderful people along the way. So, listen, what is happening in terms of the future? I mean, we don't know, right? So once this is over, we'll be back out on the, you know, we'll be back out on the audition circuit and, you know, hoping to book the next
and
job.
And trying to do our work without masks on, I guess, you know?
Right.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, go on, Tamara.
Oh, it's going to be so different, right?
Right.
I mean, like, I think about soaps, which, you know, has a lot of, you know, slapping and kissing, making out and
Snapping,
you know, so much physical contact.
Right.
And I don't think that's going to be – have you guys seen did you see Saturday Night Live, Sands of Modesto?
Oh, yeah.
They did a skit.
I saw it.
You know, about, you know, since COVID-19, it's fucking hilarious. You know, they whip out a whole thing of plastic and put it on top, you know. The makeup artist is doing the lips from, like, with one of those, like, extender, like, you know, those old cigarette extenders far away.
Oh, my goodness.
No, it's true. It's awesome. It's going to be a whole new – so I read in the trades today where David Arquette and his wife are one of the first people – they're starting to – they want to shoot a film in Arkansas, and they said they picked Arkansas because it has the fewest number of cases, and they've had zero deaths, and they have not actually closed down the state. But, of course, you know – immediately,
so
people
all
were
the people who are infected there and infected
there exactly, and then somebody said, well, you know, they haven't had any testing there, so who knows how many cases they have?
Who knows?
And it's just going to be the wild west for a while, you know, trying to find out, get on the same page with safety guidelines and stuff like that. So
yeah,
we're just going to have to.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll have to wait and see and hope for the best. And. And, I mean, I do believe things will get back to a, you know, it'll still be a bit of a new normal, but I think a lot closer to what we've had in the past before this.
Right.
We just have to be safe and protect ourselves and protect each other, you know?
That's right.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, everything, you know, change usually something good. Along with all the horrible stuff, there's usually some good stuff that happens. So, well, listen, my dear,
there
the time flies.
Lot.
I can't believe the whole hour has gone by, but I wanted to get you on the show, and hopefully when Kombucha Cure comes out, we can all get the whole gang together and celebrate, and we can do an in-person show live in the studio, which would be really fun.
Oh, that would be so much fun. I would love it. Thanks for having me on, you guys.
You
are
so very welcome, yes. Tamara. So refreshing.
Stay safe, and we'll be in touch. Thank you so much. Take care, my dear.
Bye, honey.
You too. Bye.
Thank you so much. She's so great, Ralph.
She is lovely and funny. Oh, God, it would be such a coup to have her and Alicia together. Oh, my goodness.
And you also. We got to get you on the next project. I mean, we've all sort of worked together, but not all yet on the same film yet.
Same
so,
project, yeah. I know, it's so funny how you and I haven't acted together yet in a project, but you've been my producer on them, you know. So when we actually get to act together opposite each other, that will be amazing. That will be
well,
so much
I, you
fun.
Know, it's funny. I you're right. When you say that, I forget because I always feel like all the years of doing this show, I especially when we used to do the show on camera, I felt like we were doing our own sitcom anyway.
Oh, God. So, those will always be the best memories, really. Remember, it was like that. We really did.
Yeah.
It was a great thing. But anyway, we're moving ahead, and we'll take each day as it comes in a positive way.
Yes, we will. And everyone, just remember, you can follow Tamara at Tamara Braun. You can follow Ralph. Everything is at Ralph Cole Jr. Mine is Jasper Cole Says, S-A-Y-S, or just One-on-One with Jasper Cole. And Ralph, next week, we are back with another great guest. And this show is going to archive, and it will be posted probably within the next hour, so everyone can check out. So for all the fans and the callers who couldn't get on, I'm so, so sorry, but please listen to it and click on the follow button on Blog Talk and subscribe to the show. We would love that. And then also feel free to share the podcast out to everybody else. So, Ralph, much love to Rose.
Thank you very much. And much love to Dennis and you and yours. I just wanted to add, should we say that our last week's show will air – is airing now on BS Podcast Network.
Right. Thank you. So I always forget. So, yes, starting right now. Well, yeah, tonight, right now on BS Podcast Network, which is our host network. Last week's episode with Jade Harlow is 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and that also archives. And then this particular episode with Tamara will be next Thursday on BS Podcast. So thank you for that reminder, Ralph.
Absolutely. Bye, Planet Eartha.
Everybody, have a wonderful week. Stay safe. We love you, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for checking out One-on-One with Jasper Cole. Check out past episodes and get the latest as they're released. Subscribe today on iTunes, Stitcher, and YouTube.